guys. This is Martha Novak, and this is a show called Real Talk with Martha Novak, said person. I'm glad to be with you today. We're talking about something. Oops, I didn't realize that was on the screen. We're talking about something rather important today, which are super helpers. And super helpers are people that help too much at the detriment of themselves. I'm going to talk about that and where it starts and what it reveals and more. So I think it's going to be a real good show. I've got several things to talk with you about today, and here's the big one. Hang on, I'm just making a note on something that I've got to say. I've written a script for this and made some notes and forgot a very important point I wanted to make. All right, kids. Here's the bit of business I've got to tell you. I am now physically moving. It's time. We are buying the house and closing on the house this next week. Very exciting stuff. And it's a lovely, lovely house. Oddly enough, it's right next door to the one I'm in, but a little bit bigger and a lot nicer. And so I want to give you some dates. Those of you that are so kind to follow me, I am going to be gone from next Sunday, which is October 23rd, and then I will be back, I believe, I hope, Thanksgiving weekend. I want to start the shows again on Thanksgiving weekend, which I believe is November 27th. So if you have any good prayers, send them my way, because we've got a really big move. It sounds easy going from house to house. It's not if it's right next door. It is not. There are several factors that are complicating everything, but we'll get through them just fine. It's going to take a lot of energy. I love speaking with you all. I love doing what I do, that we all do together. And if I feel like I could not do this well because something else is taking my attention, I have to step away for a moment. But I'll be back, and if you will remember, I'll be back on Thanksgiving weekend. Now, we've got literally, I don't know how many shows. I've been doing these shows for a number of years now. What, 5 years? No, more than that, because I would do them in Atlanta. So I don't know how many years of shows we have out there on Blog Talk Radio, on YouTube, and on Facebook Live. So what I want to say to you all is please go back and listen to some of these shows. I really try to bring you important information, certainly up-to-date information. And I think that you do yourself a tremendous service if you will listen to the shows, let them challenge you. They're on a variety of subjects, on everything about life. So, and I continue to do those, by the way, don't I? Anyway, please listen to those, and I'll see you back on November 27th if all goes well, and I hope it will. Okay, I think it will. Let's do a prayer, getting us all on the same page. I'll launch into today's show. It's on super helpers and what they are and how to stop it and why you want to. Dear God, who is all there is, you who are all we are and all everything is in this world, we thank you so much. We are excited about all the things. There's so many changes in people's lives. And we know, while it's all a little scary, that you are right there in the middle of everything. It's you. It's your energy. And movement is just you moving us to our good. We are excited about the journey, dear God, and the adventure of it all. And we pray for everyone to be open to change and growth and the opportunity inherent in all of those things. We now open, dear God, to receiving our potential, which is coming from within. But we don't release it always into the world. And we are supposed to be the expression of that. So here we are, dear God, saying we open ourselves now to you and your grace. We say also that we know nothing, for it's the you through us and through all things that knows it all. And we are opening to that. And we say this prayer in your name, in the name of the ascended masters, our love centered guides and friends, and in the name of each and every person listening to the show today, or any time, as a matter of fact. And so it is. Amen. Okay, kids. What gave me the idea of this was an experience that I had with someone who wanted to work with me, wanted to work for my organization several years ago, quite a few years ago now, as I think about it. And then I also found a really, really nice article by Ellen Scott saying, do you have super helper syndrome? Here are the signs and how it can be damaging. Well, I love the article. I don't think they've gone far enough, so you know me. I'm going to add to it, which is what you saw me do in the beginning because I'd forgotten one of my points. But it is an extremely good article, and it's an extremely important topic to talk about because, darling, being a super helper is not part of your emotional maturity. It's still an element of emotional immaturity, and quite a big one, that is going to inevitably lead somewhere you don't want to go. So I think it's really important for us to talk about. If this matches you, I am delighted to give you this information and hope you will take change to heart. If it is not you, and you are realizing this about friendships or other relationships that you have in your life, that's really important to know as well. And help somebody that might have that. Okay. All right, Topple. Excuse me. You know, squirrels dancing on the porch. Hopefully I won't have this in the new house. There will still be squirrels dancing on my porch, by the way. But where I'm planning to do this work, I think it's going to be in a nice separate room. Okay, Topple. You cannot do that. All right. Here. He wanted his ball, which was in the chair. And a lot of good it did, right? Michael, can you come get him, darling? I'd appreciate it. All right. Oh, we're just yelling at the dog. Okay. The woman that I was to which I was referring earlier, to whom I was referring earlier, was a very nice person. She really was. She was lovely, and she wanted to work for our organization. And she approached us about that, I don't know, it seemed like on the day, or it may have been the day before, I was to do a big class. And we said, let's see how you will work as an assistant, so by all means, please come in and let's see how you assimilate with the group and how fast I work. Now, I work real fast, okay? I don't guess I need to tell anybody about that because sometimes I think I throw fast information at you. Topple, you go to your father and you go now. He will not go. He wants to
go.
Okay, come here. Come here, you. Excuse me for stepping off the air, but we just got to put the puppy where he belongs in his daddy's arms. So there you are. Okay. So she came in, and she, as I said, I liked her. You know, I like most people. People are interesting and nice and complicated. But she was a super helper. I couldn't turn around without her handing me a cup of tea that I hadn't asked for and that I didn't have time to drink. She was trying to be, I'm sure, Radar in, if you all remember the old MASH series, you know, Radar, who always anticipated what was needed and handed it to you. But the problem, the difference between this lovely woman and Radar was that she was enormously intrusive and he was not. This is what issues do, my darlings. Issues are intrusive. They are a force. They're not comfortable. And we're going to talk all about this today. You see, all of that she was doing for me was for her agenda. It wasn't about me needing something at the time, which would have been lovely, right? But she wanted to help so much and wanted to be included so much. And here's the thing. What worried me was not that. It was her unawareness of what she was doing. Because when I asked her not to do it all, and that I didn't have time, she still didn't stop. You understand? And why? Because it's a compulsion, and that's what we're going to talk about today. This compulsive need to be a super helper that just does not work out in anybody's favor. The irony is there's often a fantasy connected to this that it will work out in your favor. But my darlings, it's not going to. Okay? So I want to go to the article for a moment, and then I'm going to step away at various times. I'll tell you when. By Ellen Scott. Her first statement is, or one of her first statements, growing up, we're told being helpful is a wonderful thing. Yes, growing up, being told that we're being helpful is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing, yes. But that message sticks with you, and certainly at its core, the message isn't wrong. It's a wonderful thing to lend a helping hand. It's a lovely thing to offer support, especially to those who struggle. It's wonderful to lend aid. Those things are good. The thing that makes this confusing is what makes everything confusing. There's a duality to everything, you see? It is really a duality to it all, to all of life. I mean, a book is wonderful to read, and it's great entertainment, and you can give it to a friend and say, read this book. I think it's just life-changing. It's fabulous. Or I think you could probably kill somebody with a book, knocking them over the head. Now, that's an extreme example. But it is an example of the duality of how everything, including your emotions, including something like helping, can cross a pathological line and become something else. It can serve our ego child's minds and our issues rather than being something genuinely lovely. And it doesn't have to be altruistic all the time, although it can be, but it certainly needs to be something conscious that you're doing. Okay. So super helper syndrome, this is a term coined by psychologists Jess Baker and Rod Vincent, and it describes people who have a compulsion to help others but fail to meet their own needs. That's really important. They actually are helping others because they're failing to meet their own needs. Isn't that interesting? This compulsion does cause serious damage over time, and it can be hard to recognize sometimes the super helper tendency until it's too late. Resentment has built in the person, and burnout has struck. I think sometimes, at least for people who know what they're looking for, it becomes it's more apparent to people who are watching this person, because it doesn't feel good, all this. I've had clients who are single and dating say to me, oh my God, you know, this man came in like a super helper. Guys, there are really, really reasons you don't want to be in a relationship with a super helper. Unless you can talk to them about it, unless they can want to change. Look, everybody likes wonderful things to happen to them. Nobody's immune to that. We all love compliments. We love being handed a cup of tea from time to time when somebody makes it for us. We love all the niceties that human beings do for one another, right? Without complaint and without even being asked sometimes. That's a lovely thing. However, this is someone who ignores what you want. It is their agenda. And if you're sensitive to this, you can really feel your energy being pulled on by a super helper. There are many reasons that you are not going to get very close to someone, either as a super helper or someone who is in relationship with one. They have designed it so that you cannot. You have designed it so they cannot be in a tighter relationship with you. There's something in you that says you're bad, you're wrong, you don't want people finding that out, so let's help, right? There's an insecurity there that you're covering up. Now, we're going to talk a lot about this, but before we go on with that, and certainly, my darlings, what I have to say about it, because I have something to say about almost everything, at least that's what my husband says. Let's talk about the signs that you may have this, okay? You might want to get a pencil and paper, a pen and paper, or sit at your computer to talk about some of these things. It's a compulsion to help, but at the expense of meeting the individual's own needs. So here are some signs. Okay. Number one, you help in all aspects of your life, your job, your family, volunteering, colleagues, clients, neighbors. There's an endless list. Second one, you struggle to say no to requests for help. You'll jump right in there and say yes and be sorry later. But you beat yourself up if you try to say no and you feel guilty. It's really quite a complicated thing. We're going to talk more about the psychology in just a minute. Your relationships are lopsided. You help people, but they seldom help you. You feel like you're the one making all the effort, remembering birthdays, keeping in touch, sending well wishes for that job interview. I talked to a client earlier this week who I am remembering is living through my mind now. She said, I have always made the effort to be the glue that holds this family together, and I'm tired of doing that. I'm content now that I don't stay in touch with my siblings, that we see each other at a Christmas party. That's it. I may send a e-wish birthday card or something like that. She's done. Actually, that's very healthy, believe it or not. That's extremely healthy. She's finally saying, well, nobody makes any effort but me here. Maybe I should find friends that are like family to me, you see. Okay. You ask a lot of questions of others, but notice they don't show much of an interest in you and your problems. The next one. You deny your own needs. You feel guilty looking after yourself. You put everyone else's needs above your own. Guys, I'm going to say you've been brainwashed into this. okay? You have. You may have brainwashed yourself, and the family may have brainwashed you, but if we are talking about the ego child's mind, the ego child's mind is the part of you that feels guilty because it's going against a teaching of yours to do anything else, the brainwashing itself. But my darlings, looking after yourself is the right thing to do. That's the higher self purpose. You understand that? You must consider yourself and how you feel about things. Otherwise, what's the whole reason to be on this earth? That's all part of your potential, you see? Being who you are, seeing what you need, meeting those needs yourself as much as you can. You can't deny your own needs, like this article says. You cannot. You're not going to get away with that. You've got to know what they are, by the way. Sometimes we bury them so deeply we don't even know what they are. All right, the next point. You get easily involved in other people's drama. You're constantly offering advice and trying to fix people. The next one. You are the one that everyone turns to, the first port of call when they are in distress. People open up to you even when you've just met them. This is the next point. Strangers unload their whole story to you, the delivery man, the waiter, the woman at the bus stop. I know many people who that happens to because they're empaths. Most people are empaths that I work with. And they often present this as a good thing. This isn't a good thing. It means where are your boundaries? Where are your walls? Now, I love talking to people. And when I have the energy and the time, I love hearing their stories. I do. But when I don't have the energy and time, none of that happens. I protect myself. I do what I need to do for myself. Do you understand? And then, the last point here is you feel guilty if you are unable to help someone. Okay. So let's keep going with this article, and then I'm going to jump in there too. She goes on to say that there is a book out by the psychologist, and it's called The Super Helper Syndrome. There are four very adverse impacts that this book puts forth. I'm going to put forth a lot more, okay? I think these are where you end up. These are things that you see that you end up with once you're at the bottom. With what they're saying, and I don't disparage these because they're absolutely right. They are the experts on this. But you remember, what I teach is consciousness. And there's a lot of psychology with this. And I want you to see what you look like when you're doing this. I want you to see it loudly and clearly. I want you to know why you're doing it. Okay? It isn't just because somebody patted you on the back when you were young. I'll guarantee you that. Okay? You are actually, let me say this, manipulating people. And that's not good enough for you anymore. Okay? I'll explain when we get there. Okay, so the four negative effects that these psychologists come up with are these. Number one is exhaustion, that many helpers run on empty, and they take this for granted. They're just giving, 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 giving with no thought to themselves. They are not considering themselves and how they feel when in the moment, okay? So the psychologists are asking, are you tired all the time? Do you have no time for yourself? Is your sleep disturbed? Are you suffering much tension or headaches? Do you feel irritable, touchy, or weighted down? Do you feel, I'm going to add, anxious? All of these things are just little signs that say, look deeper, you're off the track. That's really all that's going on here, kids. You're supposed to look and correct what isn't being corrected before that time. Because if I was a super helper all the time, let me tell you, I'd feel these things too. Okay? It's inevitable when you're giving and don't have anything left inside. His second inevitable experience of a super helper is that they will feel resentful. They'll feel a lot of resentment. They use an image, which is a pretty good image, which are you stretched like an elastic band that's eventually going to snap? Oh, the only reason I'm not totally wild about that image is once the thing snaps, it only snaps once, right? I think in a real relationship, you snap a lot. I think the rubber band snaps a lot. Be a better choice if, I mean, to me, a better image if we just talked about rubber bands and then taking another one and doing the same thing and taking another one doing the same thing now by that image. All right. He goes on, these psychologists go on to say, it's easy to say you don't want anything in return, but the reality is, it's hard to keep going indefinitely if you get little reward. At the very least, you deserve thanks and recognition. I'm going to go on to say something else, and that is only when you've taken care of yourself is your fuel tank. Well, hello, Edward. Good morning, darling. And good morning, Kim. Oh, really? Yeah, thank you, Kim. I'm so glad you're saying that to me. Kim has been so generous to share. She said this was her mom, and she worked so hard to not follow that pattern. Good for you, Kim. I'm so glad that you all are listening today. Thank you so much, my dears. It always delights me when I hear from you. Thank you. And when you're so sweet and honest as you were, Kim. Thank you. Guys, I think of it as like a fuel tank. You know, our energy is, we're a marvelous resource of energy, but it is easily used up, you know. We should be good stewards for our own energy, right? Good guardians of that in some way. Not in a selfish way, but tuning into ourselves, knowing what we can do and what we cannot do. There are times when the tank, if you'll think of the fuel tank, is empty, okay? You don't do your best work there. You're not going to be able to help others there like you want to, because we're all, you know, I'm talking to all the good people out there in the world who want to help. But when you go over the line, you don't have anything to give anybody. Don't you understand? I don't like the word. Well, here's, you know, I hear a lot of people that think sacrifice is a good thing. Excuse me. We do have the altruistic person that sacrifices. We also have people that sacrifice for the wrong reasons. It's part of this super helper syndrome. Come on. We don't want to do that. If a lion in the jungle sacrificed all the time, it would die. There might be a level of resentment, but that's just a stop on the way, kids. You've really got to know what you need in the moment. To know what you need in the moment, because many people don't. To know what you need in the moment, it requires getting all of this dross out of the way that tells us that we need to give or we are not good people. We need to give or you're not a good person. You're not a good daughter. You're not a good wife. You're not a good husband. You have to continue to give. Really? How about just saying to your loved one, I'm so tired, I don't know what to do. I can't do anymore. I'm so sorry. That's the way I feel. And have them love you because you're honest. Because they just love you. See, this is a person that doesn't take a chance on love. Now, here's the thing. If you are one of these people that give and give and give and give at the expense of yourself, what in God's name do you think is going to help you escape feeling resentful? You're not going to escape. It is the normal human thing to feel. When you have overly given, you're going to feel resentful. And we always have our lovely narcissistic tendencies that come in at that time, right? And they'll come in and they'll say, oh, everybody has it so much better than me. Well, why do they? It's because you're not taking care of yourself, and they are. Don't you understand? We get it all screwed up. And that's part of our resentment, too, our envy of other people, because they seem to have it so much better. First of all, assumptions are not truth. And second of all, why are you looking at anybody but you? We need to look at ourselves, right? So exhaustion and resentment are certainly part of what the super helper syndrome does to us, or we do to ourselves. The third one is exploitation. If you never express your needs, then it's easy and very convenient to somebody who wants to take advantage of you, to not help you, to not give you anything you want or need or help your life in any way. If you give the impression you want nothing in return, then you're going to get nothing in return, you see. Now, we are talking about a certain kind of person, the unconscious kind. Because here's really what happens in our lives. In our higher self mind, we want to give, but not at the expense of self. In the ego child's mind, we give at the expense of self, but we don't give at all. You understand? In the ego child's mind, with other, and like attracts like, with other people who are just like you, that might surround you, they're happy to take anything you've got to give. Happy to. Just give it to me. Never occurs to them to give anything back. The aware person is also aware of the reciprocal society we live in. This should have been established by good parenting when we were young. Because if our little five-year-old friend invites us to their birthday party, we should turn around and invite them to ours. You see? It's a reciprocal society. It's still a reciprocal society. That's lovely. Match like for like. I think it's just great. But this is someone who will be taken advantage of, who is a giver, giver, giver. If you have no concept of your boundaries, no concept of your needs, and you have them, by the way, if you recognize this is you, you probably have some depression with this, and you might say, I don't know what I need. The reason I don't ask for what I need is because I don't know what I need. And I say, well, then there's some exploration you've got to do in some of your consciousness studies because you have them like anybody else, and you don't know how to meet them. You see, most people take care of a cut dog's paw better than they do themselves. Is that right? Well, first of all, I'm not saying ignore the dog's paw. I am saying you have to add the component of knowing how to take care of you, knowing yourself. Only when you know yourself do you know how to take care of yourself, and do you know how to meet those needs. Look, there is somebody always that is there ready to take advantage of you. I'm sorry, that sounds negative, doesn't it? I think it's very factual. I think that it is part of the world that is here for you to learn how to take care of yourself, for you to learn where your boundaries are, for you to learn your own intuition going, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this. Something wrong with this. I can feel it. Well, let's just sit back and watch. Let's not invest any energy in this, and let's just let it reveal itself, and you'll find it. How else is the world supposed to show you these things but your ability to not have everything just rosy? There are people that will take advantage of you. They're really in the ego child's mind, of course. They are. Is that time for judgment? No, it's time for you to look after you, for you to recognize exactly who they are. How do you recognize somebody else? By knowing yourself, that's how. I've said for years that on the journey to discover and be aware of oneself, you find everybody else in the world and every motivation that motivates them. So if you're not in the self-discovery mode, you may say, I don't read people well. Or you may think, as a client of mine did, that she reads people beautifully. Well, it surprised you to know that she has a little Asperger's. She doesn't read people well at all. She dominates people. She pushes people. She forces people into her viewpoint. But reading people, the normal, wonderful give and take of discovery with people. So, this article goes on to say, that's why it's important to take a hard look at whether some of the people you're helping are exploiting you, okay? Do they really need help at all? Do they need your help? Do they need it in a timely manner when they say they do? Or are you just buying into that? What's going on here? I think that one story comes to mind. So I was working with a company that had a very sweet CEO. She was really quite nice. Not real aware, but incredibly nice. And she had an employee that needed extensive dental work. And the employee didn't have enough money to pay for it. So this good-hearted boss said, jumped right in there and said, look, this is important. You go have that done. It'll make you feel so much better. And some of this is important. I mean, really serious. And you should go and have that done. I'll pick up the bill. Now, what was never said was what she expected out of this. So the employee had her dental work done, and in 5 months she was gone. She quit. She was out of there. On to the next thing, with her beautiful teeth, by the way. Look, there are that was an unconscious trade. That was not altruistic for her to give her the $10,000 for her teeth or whatever it was it cost. It was probably at least that. She wanted something out of it. She wanted her performance. She wanted her to be there for a certain amount of time. She wanted her to work a little bit more, maybe even on the weekends, add another 2 or 3 hours, stay till 7 every night. What did she want? Well, it was only after this woman left and she was devastated did she realize she wanted those things. But don't you understand, the time to have gotten all of that on the table was a conscious trade. Close the door, come in my office, let's talk. I want to very much pay for your dental work. Here's what I want in return. Can you give me that? I want to be assured you're not going to leave in 5 or 6 months. That you're going to be here at least another year or two, put it in a contract. Well, she paid the price. There went her money and her employee right out the door. Guys, I have absolutely, I just see nothing wrong with a conscious trade. I'll give you this, you give me that. Is that all right with you? We both get what we want then, right? That's the highest form of the ego child's mind when it's a win-win for everybody. But if people don't know those rules and those rules are in your head somewhere, this is why it's so important to know your needs. Think it through. Express that. Have a conscious trade, not an unconscious one, because in an unconscious trade, you're going to feel exploited. You don't think she did? Yes, indeed, this boss did. She felt used, and she was. Okay? I can't even fault the girl that took her money and ran, because nothing was put on the table. This was before I came along, by the way. This is the story I heard once I finally got into the company. Okay. You see my point. Exploitation. Not a good thing, kids. And the next negative effect, according to these psychologists of the super helper syndrome, is self-criticism. Super helpers can be lovely to everyone and absolutely horrible to themselves. I'm going to use a different word. Harsh. Harsh. You know, I try to sometimes use the modern lexicon that's out there. And when I have a client like this, I have been known to say, you are the original mean girl. You are the original one. Mean to yourself. You really are. We have no idea most of the time. I think most people grow up not having a clue that they're being harsh to themselves, not even having an inkling of that. Why? Because it's normalized. Your parents did it to themselves, or your parents did it to you, and being harsh to yourself, being horrible, as this writer says, to yourself, is normal. You don't even know it's horrible. Well, that's what consciousness studies does, guys. You remember that the road to enlightenment is enlightenment. It is awareness to consciousness to enlightenment. It's all an unfolding of that flower. If you're just unconscious to what you're doing, if you're just unaware of what you're doing, how are we going to work? So it takes someone, sometimes neutral like me. I don't seem neutral, but I am neutral because I just want you to be your potential. I don't care what that is. I just care because you care and because that's the way of the world and that's how people are fulfilled and happy. But in terms of being horrible to yourself, boy, I'm going to say that's mean. Look at what you're doing to yourself. There's something that you're stepping out of line for. That's not good for you. And you'll sometimes people go, what? I even worked with a woman who was beaten almost every day of her life. And when I said, you were beaten, beaten, and then every day of your life, two really terrible phrases in that statement. She said, well, everybody is. It's what happens to everybody. Really? Now, that's an extreme example of normalization, but that's what people do. They normalize things, especially things that are untenable. But it is up to you as an aware person to finally get, you know, that's not good. And I'm going to change it. And change is scary because you've been brainwashed into doing this. Get it? And so you can look at all the shows about brainwashing and people being brainwashed, and we can see all those things, and you go, oh, my God, that's just terrible. But we don't even look at ourselves. Ours is more subtle. But we're all brainwashed in some way or another about things that we don't need to do and are not in keeping and certainly not in compatibility and cooperation with our highest selves. And that's where your potential lies. And it's right there inside you, right now. just got some of this clutter in the way, right? Okay. So, self-criticism. Jess and Rod explain, these are the psychologists, helper's self-criticism typically operates on two levels. You criticize yourself for not helping enough, and that's helper's guilt, he says. And I think that, he goes on to say, you criticize yourself for experiencing the other three inverse impacts of the super helper syndrome, feeling exhausted, resentful, or exploited. Yeah, you beat yourself up for anything. I'll even say you beat yourself up for not helping. Because when I'm trying to change behaviors by changing the energy, the first thing you're going to feel is guilty. And we'll talk through it, we'll work through it. We'll take that away too. But you feel guilty because you're breaking the family bond or something you learned in your childhood. You know, it's similar to, we have to rethink these things. You know, it's similar to something that I remember saying last week. I believe it was last week, and I said, you know, I've said it, the story several times because I think it's a good one. There was a client of mine in, I think she was in California. She moved very far away to get away from a dominating mother. And she had to talk to the mother every day. And I said, why do you do that? I don't know anybody that's an adult and as old as you are, and she was, who talks to their mothers every day. Yeah, we're all too busy to talk every day, particularly 3,000 miles away from each other, right? And she said, oh, well, she expected, you know, and this is a mother that literally would tell the daughter what to wear, tell the daughter how to decorate her house, tell the daughter all that. So I said, well, would you like to stop talking that often? And I finally got her to the place where she said, yes, I would like that. And I said, well, let's create a little white lie and say your schedule's changed a little bit and you can talk only on these times. You know, give her 2 or 3 days a week and have a really good conversation. And she said, oh, I can't do that. That's lying. And I said, okay, well, let's tell her the truth. So write this down. Mother, you're a bitch. I've hated you from the moment I realized what you were doing to me. You have never let me have anything of my own. Everything is, I'm an extension of you. I don't have anything that I think is beautiful even around me in my own home. You are a force. And I am very tired of being the victim of that force. I don't like you. In fact, there are many times I hate you. And I just don't want to do this anymore. So how does that sound for truth? And she said, oh, my God. I said, so a little white lie doesn't hurt if it helps somebody's feelings, right? Now, I'm going to ask you to say the same thing, guys. You know, there's guilt about having really done something. Let's say you've really done something. Well, we want to go and apologize, right? We're going to say, I feel terrible about that. I'm going to learn something from it right now, and I'm not going to do it again. And there's guilt about changing old family patterns like this. Now, which is the preferable guilt? Which is going to take you somewhere? Breaking the old family pattern or indulging in it, of which guilt is a part? You got to think these things through, guys. You have adult brains now, not child brains. Child brains use everything very, you know, black and white. Okay. No, things are a lot more complicated than that. Okay. So how can you help all this? First of all, awareness, awareness, awareness. Awareness. And did I say awareness? deeper levels of consciousness, which is the inevitable result of awareness, tuning into yourself in the moment. I had a client that was so dear. She, when I was teaching her this a number of years ago, she said, "It just occurred to me that you mean the literal moment, to tune into how I feel in the literal moment." All I could say was, "Bingo, finally, you get it, yes, in the literal moment." How do you feel right now? You see? Really tune in. What do you need? What would you like to give yourself? It's never a Porsche, guys. It may be a spoonful of ice cream. It may be a good cup of warm tea with a little honey in it. It may be a cup of coffee. What do you want? What do you need? What's your body saying right now? You have to wake up to you. But so many of us truly have buried the real you. You've buried it because, and I'm sorry about the phone ringing. Don't we sometimes have that? Hello, Becky. Oh, hi, darling. I'm so glad that you're tuning in. Thank you. I was apologizing for the phone ringing. We have a friend that calls from Austria, and he cannot seem to understand I do radio shows, you know. So, oh, this isn't the friend from Austria. I don't know who this is. But anyway, guys, before I keep going with this lecture, let me say again, because some of you have tuned in a little late, which, of course, is fine. But the move is happening now. I'm changing houses. I'm getting a brand new house. I'm so excited. It has been a really complicated transaction. But that said, dears, please understand, I will be gone from October 23rd, that's next Sunday, to I'm hoping to be back Thanksgiving weekend, which is November 27th. I hope to address you all maybe about a Thanksgiving theme or gratitude theme at that time. But I've got to have that month because it's a complicated move. It's funny because it's just a house next door, and it's so funny when I've talked to my friends up here and even strangers and say, "I'm just moving to the house next door," everybody goes, "Oh my God, that's the worst move there is." It's as if they all had been here before. Now, I don't know what their experience was, but ours is complicated. So, you know, not the least of which is I've got some pods coming, and we just found out we knew we had pillars, but we never knew how wide they are. The pods can't get down the driveway to deliver the pods. You know, it's things like that, you know, where you just go, boy, got to work that out today. But anyway, sweethearts, I will be gone next weekend, October 23rd, all the way. So I'm pretty much taking a month off, a little over a month, because of this move. And I may not be totally grounded and set by the time I address you again, but I'll try to be. And please, sweetheart, listen to the archive shows. Oh, they're on so many different subjects. I've done them for so many years, these shows, and I hope that they will keep you going on your journey while I step away to do this move. Okay? All right. Okay. I want you all to understand that you all got messages that are deeply embedded in the ego child's mind. I have a friend who is a super helper. She used to be far worse than she is now. She would be a super helper because she thought she had to do it or she was a bad person. Where did she get that? From her mama. Her mother was like that, okay? And her mother's favorite expression for this child was, "You're selfish." So the daughter, in every attempt she had to not make herself selfish, became a super helper, and it helped her not feel like a bad person. Okay? The irony here is she resented it so that she became very self-absorbed and self-aware, so she was still a bad person in her book. You see? It's a no-win situation, these issues. They loop back on themselves. You end up getting what you don't want. I want you to understand that, but because her mama told her, see, all our mamas and our dads, guys, were supposed to know, according to the ego child's mind. They were supposed to know. Whatever they ingrained in us, we take as gospel on some level until we challenge it. Good morning, Sheila. Oh, I'm so glad that you are with us today. It's been a good show today. I do encourage you guys that are tuning in late to go back and listen to the show, because I think it's had some good points in it. Really, I do. A good article that I pulled from. And keep in mind that when we were young and we are listening to the voice of God, which, by the way, is our mothers and fathers, right? It's all we know of God at one point. And if we don't consciously go, wait a minute, they're not the voice of God. They're a misguided mother or father. We take it as the truth. We take it as gospel. And their issues often serve us. You know, if our parents are really scared and have OCD tendencies, we don't even know what we're scared of, and we have OCD tendencies, right? Helps us control our world, or think we're controlling our world, you see. Okay. We must wake up. We must learn to see our parents realistically and realize what we got from them and realize that it can be changed. Everything can be changed. All right. Now, I went on a little further and said, here is what being a super helper does for you that actually, and reinforces for you, that you don't want reinforced. Okay, let's talk about that. Many times, it gives you a sense of worth because you've never found it on the inside of you. So, there are people that are just there when the church doors open and do the flowers and do this and do that and do that and do that. I'm not criticizing that in church. Don't think I am, because I think everything is there for anybody who wants it and who resonates with it. But I'm just giving that as an example. There are people that just won't stop because it gives them worth, all right? There was a woman that I worked on years ago who had really damaged herself physically, but she continued to do it because it gave her worth. She would stand on her poor legs that were swollen like tree trunks, and it's just the way it was, because she wanted to give. Because it made her feel good and made her feel worthwhile. Guys, it should be inside you. You should know who you are. So you don't have to do anything external to know who you are and to have your own worth. You just have it. It's part of your highest self. Okay. Number two. It gets you attention, all this super helping. It gets you attention. I think that the drive for attention, and I did a radio show on this a while back, the drive for attention, I think, really comes out of never growing up in your mind. I think it really has a lot to do with being a dependent personality. And it's like you want attention because you want somebody to take care of you because you can't take care of yourself. You've never learned that. Guys, help is all around. Of course you can take care of yourself. Of course you can. You know who to call if something happens. That was an exercise I did with my class a number of years ago, my advanced class. I said, okay, I want you to choose the five worst things that could possibly happen to you. And, you know, the list was filled with my spouse dies or I get cancer or I do this or I do that. And I said, then, all right, now write down 5 to 10 steps that you're going to take right after that methodically and in a certain order. And they did. And I said, and what did you learn from that exercise? And they said that we can handle everything. Won't be pleasant, but we could handle it. Guys, do that exercise. It's part of growing up. To know, you know who to call. You know what to do. Okay? I worry about this drive for attention, though, that people have. Really, I do. Because I have seen the results of this, and they're not good. I know several people that have this drive for attention. And one of them has gotten cancer. And she likes the people that give her attention, and she don't like the people that don't give her attention. And do you understand that cancer is just a really good, well, any illness is just a really good way of getting attention. Guys, you don't want to go down that path. Why in the world would anybody want to get sick to get attention? And yet, doesn't that happen in your childhood? Where was everybody nice to you when you were sick? I know a lot of people like this. Well, people should be nice to you. Here's a revelation. Without your being sick. And you don't need it as a tool to leverage somebody's attention. There is often a relentless drive for attention because it is somebody that never felt loved, never felt heard, never felt appreciated. As a child, but we've got to come out of that child's mind now, right? Another thing it reinforces is, it creates very unrealistic expectations. Here's what I mean. They'll take care of me. I'll overdo for them. I'll super help. So they will take care of me because I'm taking care of them. It's another form of this dependence that I'm talking about. If I do for you, you're going to have to do for me. It's as if they, instead of buying into the reciprocal thing, they buy into the obligation thing. They like people to be obliged because they may need them one day. Out of this, I want you to hear, this creates attachments, not connection with people. Do you understand? This keeps you shallow. The relationship is not built on higher motives of reciprocal appreciation, admiration, love, going back and forth. No, it's I'm manipulating you. Do you get this? This person is manipulating you because to their ends, to their agenda. It's all about them. It's not about you. How can you get close to someone who won't allow themselves to drop this? They're creating attachments and obligations that they hope one day will be fulfilled if they ever needed it. And why would anybody think, I may need help one day? I'm so pitiful. I'm a victim. I hope you react to that word because I don't want you to do that. I'm just a blooming victim and I need all this help. So if I give, somebody will help me if I ever need it. You know, the interesting thing is the kind of people you attract with that are never going to give you a damn thing. They're not going to be there for you. It's all been about them. Because it was all about you. Guys, we got to wake up. You got to attract a better level of friend. Someone that really understands what friendship means and the give and take of friendship. You understand? I hope so. Being a super helper also reinforces the belief that you can't take care of yourself. Every time you use a super helper tactic, and that's what it is, you are saying and proving to yourself in some childlike way that you can't take care of yourself. There isn't a therapist in the world that's going to say they can help you until you give it a shot of taking care of yourself. And what work and consciousness is one step after another of finding that out until you're whole and you can self-actualize and meet your own needs. You see? We have to watch things being entrenched. Every time you use an issue, you're convincing yourself you need to use that issue. That's the danger. This is how things get embedded. This is why things are sometimes very hard to break, issues are. So the more we can be aware and go, look at me using that. Do I want to use that? Do I know why I'm trying to use that? Let's not use that. Let's do this instead. You're going to be a hell of a lot better off. Will it cause anxiety? You bet it will. But that's the anxiety of healing, not the anxiety of using these things over and over again and being the dependent child. The kid who can't take care of himself. I want you to know that being a super helper really shows that you're insecure. I want you to know that people see it. We think we're getting away with so much, don't we? We think we actually are getting away with this. We're not getting away with anything. Everybody sees we're insecure. Why do you think the vultures come around? They can get you. They can take advantage of you, my darlings. You've got to wake up. Look, I have a very, very positive attitude about everybody. I give people the benefit of the doubt, but one of the reasons I can is I know my boundaries, by God, and I'm not going to cross them, nor will I let anybody else cross them. If you don't know yours, you cannot give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You cannot see people realistically. You just can't. We want to believe the best. Guys, you know, I read a wonderful article. In fact, I think I talked about this on the radio at one point. It was why women are vulnerable to some of these people like a Ted Bundy. And there's something very nice about all of us. You know what it is? We want to believe that other people are good people. It's ingrained in us. I think it's a very sweet characteristic. However, when you don't combine that with discernment, when you don't combine that with the rest of what you have in you, like your intuition that tells you, don't do that, uh-uh, don't go, you get in trouble. So he would approach with a broken arm or a broken leg or he's on crutches, can you carry my books to the car? Can you put them in the car for me because I can't do it? And then you hit him over the head. It would be wonderful to talk to these young ladies now and say, didn't you have an inkling of warning that something was wrong here? Did your niceness and your training so override the real you that was trying to tell you, don't do this, be too busy to help this man? I would love to know. But I don't know their psychology, you see. But we simply, darlings, must have, I think it's fine to have that wonderful perspective and want what, you know, want to believe that everybody's fine. But everybody isn't fine. Guys, I don't believe in evil, but I believe that people do evil things. There's no force of evil, but people do evil things because of the ego child's mind and the lack of light inside of them. Don't be naive to any of that either. Right? Hi, Michelle. Michelle said, that was my sister's favorite phrase, you're selfish. Then she stole our inheritance. Whoop. Okay, Michelle. Well, you know, a lot of times people accuse you of what they are. I don't think, in my opinion, you know, that anybody in the ego child's mind is trustworthy. I don't think any of us are in the ego child's mind. We're all unloving and petty and selfish and a lot of other things. But we can't deny that because it's part of our humanness. But we are here to talk about doing something else, aren't we? Going into our higher self, attaching these things that we haven't allowed ourselves, like discernment, to come up in us now and make us wise men and women. This is what we're supposed to do now, right? One of the other things that I want to mention, and I did mention this earlier, is that I think this super helper syndrome is very manipulative. I think it's just a complete manipulation of other people. That's very ego child's mind. That's very emotionally immature, that you don't know who you are. You don't know you can get what you want any other way, so you manipulate. It's not good enough anymore, huh? But first I want you to see what you're doing, so you won't want to do it anymore. See, what happens is the ego child's mind kind of throws a nice little gauze over it all. You don't see this. Me being manipulative? Are you kidding me? I don't manipulate. I care about the other person. Bull hockey. Mm-mm. It's not true if you're doing this. That's just not true. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I call clients on always is they'll say, well, I didn't tell the truth here because I didn't want to hurt their feelings. That was said to me this week with a woman who had a hard time telling a man who she was dating online, this is just not a fit, but I wish you well, good luck, you know. And it was very difficult for her to say that. And she wanted to talk about how difficult it was afterwards. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I said, okay, I'm sure that's true, that much. But mainly this is you were afraid of what he was going to give you, that you would have to deal with it in the feeling arena of your own. This is about you, not about anybody else but you. And I want to say that's a really smart thing for you to know, kids. It's always about you. It's never about the other person. It's always about you, what you're afraid of. You understand? That doesn't make you bad. That makes you human. The point is to figure out I can work through all of that. I can work through all of that. I'm no victim. I know more and more of who I am, and I stand in that. And I know God is right here with me at all times, in every circumstance, every single one. Now I have to listen to that inner and not be distracted by all the distractions and clutter around me and just stay there and do my job. Be who I am. Express me. Take care of me and then take care of others. I've used for years, and now I hear everybody doing it, not that I started it. I think these things come from the universe to many people at one time, like the telephone did, you know, although Alexander Graham Bell got the credit for it. So about 5 or 6 other people invented a telephone around the world at the same time. I think that the story that I was going to say is, you know, how when you're on a plane, they say put the mask over your face first and then your child's, then somebody else's. That's how we should live our lives. Make sure your fuel tank is full. Give what you can. Contribute where you can. Do it altruistically, if you can. If not, make an unconscious trade. There's nothing wrong with that either. Guys, I love you very much. Please remember that I will be taking off from next weekend. That's the 23rd of October to November the 27th. I'm going to be speaking on November 27th, okay, I think. That's Thanksgiving weekend. And I thought that was appropriate to come back with the Thanksgiving message and tell you how the moving experience was, because I'm really excited about this. It's just tons of work, but it's a beautiful house. I've just got to get rid of a lot of stuff, you know, because I don't need it anymore. And this is me breaking with my past, a lot of my past, and letting those things go. We have, up here in the mountains, you often buy houses that are already furnished. And we are buying a house that has some furniture in it, and it's beautiful. And that means, well, I love it more than I've loved what I've had, you know. So it's about growing up on this level for me, too. Hey, Becky. Thank you, sweetheart. Becky was wishing me well. I want to wish all of you all well. Please do listen to these archive shows, darlings. I don't do them for any reason except I want your lives to be good. I want you to be fully aware and conscious of what's going on. I want you to contribute your beautiful selves to this lovely world of ours, okay? So please listen to those, and then, gosh, this month is going to be back before we know it, I think, you know. Yes, I am very pleased. We've gotten a beautiful house. It is a lovely house, and we bought it truly from a dear friend of ours. We look forward to taking some of her energy, her sweet, dear energy forward. I think it'll be a beautiful thing. So, anyway, we love you very much. Let's do a quick prayer and let some of this lift off of you, shall we? Dear God, who is all there is, you who are all we are in this world, we thank you so much for all the opportunities we have in our lives right now. Oh, thank you, Scarlett. I'll miss you guys, too. I don't think you all know how much I enjoy just being with you, you know. I really have fun, and it's kind of a little snippy that I have to step away for a month, but I'll be back in a new room. Dear God, we are so appreciative of everything. We're appreciative in our lives of what we have. We all want more. Of course we do. And we know that that is destined for us. So open us to the receiving of more and the love that we have to give other people and all of the things that are here now in our lives to take advantage of and people to meet and things to know. Show us where our lines, though, are, our boundaries are that we should not cross. Let us know that we must restore ourselves and work honestly in relationship and for relationship with other people. Help us to connect and not just to attach, dear God, as we open ourselves to know more about ourselves and who we are and why we do what we do and the new. We open to change and growth and opportunity in all ways and to abundance and to joy and to more creativity and to it all. We thank you so much, dear God, and we say this prayer now in your name, in the name of the Ascended Masters, our love-centered guides and friends, and in the name of each and every person listening. And so it is, amen. Guys, if you will do, thank you so much, all of you. If you'll do a thing for me, though, and that is, could you be kind enough to keep your telling people about this show going through this month? When I step away, our numbers go down, and if you guys could continue to tell people about the show, if you enjoyed the show, I think some of you do, I would really appreciate your doing that for us, because that way our numbers won't drop and I'll come back and we can continue our work with our conscious community, okay? Thank you so much, darlings. I appreciate it with all my heart. Sorry about my old nose. When it gets cold outside, the nose runs just the way it is. All right. I love you. I hope all of you all will be well and healthy. Please stay well and healthy out there. I'll see you on the 27th, okay, of November. God bless you. Also have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll talk about Thanksgiving, I think, on the 27th. So God bless you. Take care of your sweet selves. And so it is. Amen.